Happy New Year, everyone. It is officially 2021. That rhymed. Well, that was alliteration. Well, it wasn't alliteration. It rhymed, but it wasn't back to back. So is that still alliteration?
No.
Oh.
So far, this recording sounds very 2020-ish.
It does. But, you know, it is a new year. And this is still... It's still a roller coaster, though. We still on.
It is. We're still on the ride. Anybody who thought that, you know, New Year's Day was going to be the exit ramp, I think for about 48 hours, we were like, okay. And then no.
Yeah. Yep. So we still have the park, but
strap in. Yeah. We're still going to ride this.
But here's the deal. You all know what to expect. It's like when you've been on a roller coaster and you did the big hill and then you did the first corkscrew and then you get ready. You already know. So just brace yourself.
Been on this ride.
Yeah, you've been on it. So just, you know, don't.
Like the fourth time that you've been on Space Mountain. Like it doesn't change the feeling necessarily of that drop, that pit in your stomach. But you, at least now you know it's coming and you know you survived it.
That's right. So yeah. So just
fingers crossed.
Hunker down, stay in your house, wash your hands, wear your mask, sanitize.
We know that, you know, if you see Clorox wipes at the store, buy them.
Buy them, yeah. If you see toilet paper, get some.
Buy it.
You know, just be prepared, you know. Don't watch too much TV. Turn it off every once in a while.
Unless you're watching Bridgerton, which I suggest everybody watches.
That is true. Yes, yeah. And you might want to rewatch some of that.
I'm just going to let that be my gift to the people.
Yeah. Yes, that was a good, but I'm glad you said something about that. Cause I probably would have skipped past that. I'm sure I would have skipped past that on Netflix. I would have like,
I never read the books. I didn't know anything about it except that it was Shonda Rhimes. And I'm like, okay. And then I started, I think on Christmas and that was the last time that was, you know, I love my family and I would have been with my family for Christmas but that was a really nice substitute.
No, it really was. I think when I first started watching it, I watched all that and I'm pretty sure I watched it in one day.
I let it breathe for like a week. I watched maybe like the first five episodes and then like in a day. And then I didn't watch it. And then I went back the next week and finished it. But
no, I watched it in 2 days because I was off that week. So was like, so that was when I was staying up till 4 o'clock in the morning. I just like, let me just start watching this. And I watched it in 2 days. It was, it was very good. Yes. But anyway,
there's that. But that's not what we're necessarily here to talk about today, though. I do feel like we share good news. And I feel like of 2021 so far,
That was some good news.
It's good news. So, anyway. Well, but cool. The other good news we're going to share is...
We have a guest today. A good guest. Like, she's famous.
She is famous. And she said yes to us even after she became famous.
That's right. She's famous for doing, like, really good work. So, like, there's some people who are infamous, and then there's people who are famous. And she's famous. So we got Amy Fong, who is the new COO of Saving Our Atlanta Region's Residents, SOAR, and an organization that's coming together to do some great work. But you might remember her. She's been on the show before because she's also a team member at the Atlanta Hawks, has been doing really, really great work over there. And so
she's just on, and she's an executive on loan to SOAR. So, you know, don't worry, you know, we're not making any announcements to, I hope nobody from the Hawks has listened to like, what do you mean Amy's going? No, so she's just,
yes.
She's just, you know, one more fantastic thing that the Hawks are doing for the community, lending out the expertise of one of their executives for a year to help in this really important work. So
that's right. Yes. And Amy was just on the cover of Atlanta Magazine as one of the 500 most influential Atlantans. So check her out on the cover, read her story. But she's pretty cool. So we like her. Yeah. So
excited to hear from her. And really kicking off this new year with some great news, a fantastic guest, and we're just excited to be back with you and see what unfolds from here.
All right. Well, stay tuned. We're going to be joined by Amy and give you some more on SOAR. Welcome back to the Good Work Show. We are excited because we are talking to Amy Fong, who is the COO of Saving Our Atlanta Region's Residents. SOAR is an acronym. And before we get started, Amy, I just want to say congratulations for being one of Atlanta's, is it the top 500? Like, she's on the cover of the thing. Like, I'm like, this is amazing. Like, we have like an entire star on our show. So we don't get that many like celebrities. So it's good to be around you, but thanks for the work you're doing. You're one of the most influential people in Atlanta, and we appreciate you spending some time with us today.
Well, thanks for having me on the show.
I know. Did we ask you after you got that award and you still said yes?
I was surprised just as much to get the award. So
I feel like now you're rethinking, like, I don't know if I should be doing this, but okay. But we're gonna.
You guys tell good, you know, good stories. So I'm happy okay. to anytime.
Cool.
So tell us about SOAR though. Saving Atlanta Region's Residents. I want to make sure that I get that exactly right. Yep. So tell us about the organization. What's the mission? What do you do? Just give us a little insight there.
So it's a new entity. It's not quite structured as a nonprofit or 501c3 foundation or any sort. It's a loose coalition of a bunch of Metro Atlanta community and civic leaders who got together back, you know, at late spring of 2020 when the pandemic was starting. And, you know, a lot of these organizations and leaders have worked in the space of homelessness in the past and just broad brushes of issues that impact the Atlanta region. And what was quickly becoming obvious was this, you know, immediate kind of problem of a lot of folks losing income, losing stability as a result of just this new normal that we're in, and unable to, you know, handle their housing in some kind of form. Now, at the time, this group of civic leaders came together and said, you know, how can philanthropy and the civic community of Atlanta come together to try to be a gap? And then had a series of conversations, thought through parameters in which, you know, we would talk through to the landlords who own a lot of these units, you know, provide assistance to renters who needed the assistance. And then along the way, there were some kind of immediate relief programs through the CARES Act funding. City of Atlanta, Fulton County, several local jurisdictions got some funding as well as the state to address this issue. But of course, it was not enough funding. And then the CDC, as well as a few local jurisdictions like City of Atlanta, had a evictions moratorium. So basically, you know, things might start in the adjudication process, but can't be completed. And so philanthropy and folks really felt like, you know, we can step in and try to figure this out. Much has changed since the group kind of asked me to come on board. And, you know, now we're looking at a model of, okay, you know, at the end of the day, we have a lot of great community-based organizations, nonprofit agencies who are out there already doing this great work. How can us group of leaders come together and support their work, especially now that there's a significant tranche of funding that's being proposed through this new stimulus package? And so for folks who are in need of assistance, help is on the way is kind of the main message. And for folks who are doing this good work, continue to do the good work to connect those who are in need to this assistance. And we're here to try to figure out how to better efficiently get those resources that are coming through the federal funding, as well as potentially other private sources of funding, increase the capacity to administer those funds in an efficient manner, and then hopefully stem any long-term impacts that the COVID-19 would have done to our specific community. Again, you know, we all entered into 2020 not realizing what would happen. And even with the pandemic itself, we thought it was, you know, a couple weeks, then a couple months, and now we're in this new normal. And so we want to make sure that our region is healthy and move forward together.
Yeah. So is all of the work that you're doing, is it, because we know that here in Atlanta that there has been an affordable housing issue for years, and it's just gotten worse because of the pandemic. So people ultimately who will be able to come to you for help, is it going to be pandemic related issues only? So you would have to demonstrate that you were impacted by the pandemic to get, I mean, that probably is not hard to do, you know, to demonstrate that, but are those two things going to have to be linked to get support?
Well, as of right now, looking at the latest guidance from the Treasury, it looks to be that case for this latest set of federal funds, that you have to demonstrate some kind of loss of income. Now, there are some interpretations that local jurisdictions like state of Georgia, Fulton County, Cobb County might make to say it's a loss of any income, not necessarily now related to COVID-19. You know, because the pandemic has stretched so long, it could be just a general loss of income. And we're trying to get clarity from state leaders on if that's how Georgia's program is going to be administered. We believe so, but you know, at the end of the day, for this set of funding, we're trying to understand that better. Now, if there are private sources of funding, which you know the group still aims to try to continue to raise funding for capacity building and infrastructure development, because at the end of the day, you know, a lot of these nonprofit community-based organization groups who are doing great work need more people to do that great work. Mm-hmm. And so if we can help facilitate that in some kind of way to leverage those federal funds, that could go a long way. And I think that there could be room and opportunity to ensure the broader challenge of affordable housing is continue to be in the forefront us solving as a region to ensure that, you know, Atlanta's a great place to live, work and play, and for multiple generations. That's why this initiative is backed by the United Way, the Community Foundation, Atlanta Regional Commission, and so forth, and the Metro Atlanta Chamber, because again, a healthy community includes affordable housing, includes stability when emergencies and unexpected events occur in one's life, as well as just the broader connection to resources across the region.
Yeah. So, Amy, I'd love for you to talk to us about some of the issues facing people in our area as it relates to affordable housing. And I think there's so many different ways you can take this. I mean, some people would say, oh, there's not enough housing, so we should build more. But there are developments coming up, and we've seen in headlines where, you know, none of the units are slated for affordable housing, or, you know, people will say, you know, there's existing places, but, you know, again, there's nothing there. So, or the rents are going, I mean, there's so many ways you can kind of look at this. Talk to us about the bigger issue sort of facing people. Is it access? Is it availability? Is it, you know, kind of break that down for us in terms of what you all are looking at SOAR?
So for SOAR specifically, it is that kind of emergency, immediate eviction kind of crisis. But having been at the city of Atlanta for years, mm-hmm. I know affordable housing was a hot topic then and still continues to be. And what I could say is, it's a mixture of all those things. It's unintended consequences based on policy. So if, you know, if the city had particular building requirements, then that could impact the cost of construction, that then could impact, you know, a renter or a home buyer of how much that costs. Then there's the general, you know, thought of folks kind of spread out from the core of the city to the other region or to across the region. And so, you know, how do we reduce the other living costs, such as transportation and food and education, that also impacts affordable housing in an indirect kind of way. And then there's just the cost of ownership and who has capital to take on projects like this. And so I know that different jurisdictions have really started to focus more on this and started to bond out against their reserves to try to have a reserve or a pool of resources in, you know, $125 million magnitudes to then start tackling this. But at the end of the day, you know, there are great agencies that are working on this, Atlanta Housing, the Atlanta Land Trust, the Atlanta Regional Commission started the Housing Forum to really get at the systemic kind of challenges of affordable housing as well. So again, in certain communities of color, that is, you know, more impacted than others, and to try to, you know, again, equalize and give opportunity and access is definitely the region's goal.
So going back directly to what to relate it to SOAR, and I know that you said that you guys are kind of in the formulation portion right now. So how soon, maybe we'll couch it that way, can folks start reaching out, or where can they go to find information about if they actually need help, if they are coming up on, you know, an eviction, or they're looking for, you know, they just need help. So when can they get access to resources? And then other than monetary support, what other kind of support will you guys be offering, if any?
Yeah, so right now there's still funding from CARES Act. A lot of community-based organizations and nonprofits are already, you know, doing great work on. I would, you know, the top of mind, I would say Star C is a great organization, Home First, Buckhead Ministries. There's a whole host of organizations out there that have been leveraged through the different counties, as well as City of Atlanta and the state, to do this work today. And there's still funding available. So part of the stimulus act that was passed was to extend those funds, those unused funds, from the end of last year onto the end of this year, and add additional funding in a significant way. And so I would encourage folks to seek out those direct organizations. And if they can't, you know, if they don't know what those organizations are, or they don't know how to access them through their county jurisdiction, then I would just recommend simply calling United Way's 211 system, which has been directly involved at the center, is serving as our sponsor organization, as well as our fiscal agent as we get going as well. And so they're the best kind of, you know, hub of information. They can direct folks depending on where they live, and they're directly managing the City of Atlanta's CARES Act funding relief program specifically on this topic. Now, based on our understanding right now in the guidance the U.S. Treasury has released with this latest stimulus funding, we understand it as it's both rental assistance and other loosely defined housing assistance. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, more guidance will come on that in the next 30 days or so. But I would say, you know, as this group of loose coalition gets kind of its new thinking through and strategy, we'll be able to release more information through our partners, United Way, and so forth.
Fantastic. So, you know, we mentioned that there's CARES Act funding, there's funding there. If listeners are passionate about this, and we hope that they are, you know, obviously everyone knows someone, if it's not there in their immediate family or circle, or, you know, workspace, that has been impacted by the pandemic in one way, shape, form, or fashion. But if they have been impacted financially and really, you know, are passionate about, hey, I see other people, I want to help, I want to, you know, kind of help what SOAR is doing, I know they're getting started, what can I do? Tell our listeners how they can get involved. What which steps should they take? How do they sort of keep track about what you all are doing and keep a pulse on the new things that are coming up?
I think there'll be a need at some point for folks to really help directly connect folks who need the resources to where the resources are in the case of case management. There was, you know, with the pandemic, a lot of times you need to be in front of folks, you know, where the, meeting them where they live, and that's been a difficult challenge. And so, you know, folks are aware of kind of hubs of where people who are in need are living, and to be able to invite us into that space, I think that's definitely a future opportunity to support this you know, regional initiative to get folks connected to resources, as well as, you know, just translation services. You know, want to make sure that folks who English is not their first language get assistance. There's also, again, the direct kind of explanation that needs to be held sometimes for folks to know what they need to present to qualify for these resources. Again, the federal government requires a set of documents, and sometimes individuals who need the help don't have all the documents. And so just breaking through that and creating a common language, oftentimes folks who are in those communities can help us better translate that requirement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Great. Well, anything else that didn't ask you that we should? I mean, I love the work that you're doing, and that is built by a group of civic leaders, right, who are coming together saying, wow, we need to do something. I think those are the best or some of the best ways that issues and things are tackled. It's the way that, you know, Goodwill was built, by a group of citizens who saw a need and wanted to get together, and, you know, it became sort of what it is today in Atlanta. Anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I'm still an Atlanta Hawks employee, and I want to commend the leadership of our CEO, Steve Koonin, for really stepping up and saying, you know, hey, if a group of civic leaders need our help, by one of our executives to go out there. And because I've had a unique experience of both public-private experience myself professionally, and recently worked on a variety of things through the Atlanta Hawks with, you know, hosting early voting at State Farm Arena, which captured the attention of the kind of the group of leaders who were needing boots on the ground to operationalize this and get this going. You know, the Atlanta Hawks and Steve Koonin was extremely supportive of my contribution here. And that just speaks to kind of the general kind of portfolio work that we've done in the past that you guys have highlighted on your show. So it ranges from building out community courts with our local jurisdictions, to, you know, the rooms that we've created with our partner at State Farm, to our pop-up grocery stores that we had at the start of the pandemic. And we see that my contribution over here is just another additional contribution in terms of relief during the pandemic, as well as the early voting initiative that we were able to get more than 50,000 voters in and out in a safe and efficient manner at State Farm Arena. And so I want to give kudos to the home team.
Yeah, Elaine and I have been commenting, as both of us have done communications and public relations for most of our careers. We both the Hawks have just been killing it for like the last, you know, just every single step of the way that, you know, it's not just about getting good press, it's doing good work and really being a member of the community in a way that's meaningful, and being available for the community in ways, and just showing up in a really great way. So we agree, we talk about it all the time, because we're like, this is just incredible for a sports team. But then the stuff that we're talking about, you know, we always like to cheer on the team, but also recognizing all the work that they're doing to contribute to the community is really impressive.
Yeah. The Hawks off court is amazing. I mean, everything. So kudos to you being part of the leadership team at the Hawks, but then also, like you said, just coming from the top. And we know a few Hawks employees, and they're all really great people. So we appreciate all of the work that you all are doing, and thank you for pivoting and taking on this new role We appreciate you coming on the show today. And again, super congratulations go to you for being one of the most influential people in our area in Atlanta. Definitely is deserving. And so we appreciate you coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me. Thanks, everyone.